Welcome to Talos Takes, the quick take podcast where our researchers break down this week's hot topic in cybersecurity for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. My name is Nick Biasini. I'm a threat researcher with Cisco Talos. And today I'm joined by Warren Mercer, who is another researcher with Talos. Today we're going to talk about a recent post that we made about a new rat that Warren and a couple of other researchers discovered called Poet Rat. Warren, welcome to Talos Takes. Talk to me a little bit about Poet Rat. What is it and how did it work?
So essentially what we found was couple of different Lure documents, and what we found in the whole back end of it was a Python-based remote access Trojan, remote access tool. Some people might know that as well, Nick, but essentially it's a malicious remote access Trojan that we found written almost solely in Python, using a couple of different Python scripts to actually execute, and then using some other post-exploitation tools that we'll talk about probably throughout this podcast.
Okay, cool. That's really interesting. And you said it was a remote access Trojan. Was there any particular regions of the world or areas that that this particular attack was targeting?
So Poet Rat was very specific in its victimology. From what we observed through our telemetry and through our open source intelligence gathering, was that the Azerbaijani government sector and private public energy sectors were specifically under attack. That's probably not something out of the ordinary to attack a specific government or a specific sector. So that in itself isn't that different from other attacks and other malware that we see. But Poet Rat specifically seemed to focus around the Azerbaijan government sector, energy, public-private sector.
Okay, interesting. One of the things that jumped out to me when I was reading the blog was the methodology they used around the dropper mechanism. I did use Maldox, but it was in kind of a novel way. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So, yeah, they used Maldox, which is pretty much what we see a lot of the time. What we see was essentially an old trick used in a slightly new way. Basically, we've got data appended onto the end of a document file. So if you imagine you have nickbiasinicv.doc, that's a simple Word document written down with your own details and all the rest. What this attacker has done is they have appended data on the end of that file. So if you think if you open up in a hex editor, for example, you can append data onto the end of that file. What this actor did was write a macro within the malicious document to then extract a zip file from the end of this remote document file that you've now got on your box and that you're now using. So in our instances, it was called docker.doc. And what we found was a macro that appended 7 megabytes of a zip file out and then executed that zip file. So essentially extracting the documents and then starting to basically call Python scripts from there on in. Very cruel if you're looking at it from a research perspective, because it's an old trick, as I mentioned, used in a new way. So it definitely is an interesting dropper.
Interesting. And I know that we named this particular rat because it is new. We did name it Poet Rat. Can you talk a little bit about why we chose the name Poet Rat?
So interestingly, what this actor had done within the macro inside the Word document, you can comment these, and you see this in some other pieces of malware. Generally, you use comments when you're writing any script or code so that someone else can take your code and be able to follow through your process and follow through your mind as to what you're doing. However, what this actor interestingly did is he inserted Shakespeare's sonnet 116, and he had various lines from that dotted about throughout the macro itself. Rationale? I have no idea. But that's why we named it Poet Rat. Shakespeare obviously was a massive literary sort of expert in poetry and other sort of things like that. So Poet Rat to us made sense. We thought it was quite funny and a novel take on a name.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great reference and story behind that. So one of the other things that I found interesting was during the course of your investigation, you managed to find a phishing campaign that was also running on that same infrastructure that appeared to be targeting Azerbaijan as well. This is just another example of how there are so many different campaigns out there. And this particular group even made use of coronavirus in one of the campaigns as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's all bang on, Nick, as always. So essentially, as we mentioned, we had a couple of malicious Lure documents. One of those malicious Lure documents had Azerbaijani-related statistics that related to the coronavirus. And then another document was actually called C19, So obviously, if you've been following the rest of the world, as I'm sure everyone listening has, COVID-19 is a disease caused by this new coronavirus that was identified. So this actor has obviously taken everyday scenarios, i.e. coronavirus, COVID-19, and used those to create those lure documents. So within that lure document, we obviously found the download information where this actor was downloading their documents from and their other malicious content. And on that same infrastructure, we identified a phishing campaign that was for the mailgov.az, so the Azerbaijani mail government portal, essentially, so gov.az webmail platform. And what that's maybe been used for, we didn't find any actual activity, but what we believe it would have been used for is some additional credential harvesting around the phishing campaigns they were carrying out. And for anyone listening, obviously, if you've got credentials off those kind of portals and those kind of email inboxes, there's presumably very sensitive information that relates to some of those documents and some of those inbox scenarios that you can come up with.
Yeah. And since this is based primarily in Python, they're kind of making use of lolbins or living off the land binaries. Could you talk a little bit about what you could do from a detection perspective, what enterprises could do to help prevent against this type of threat?
So this becomes a little bit more difficult depending on your enterprise and depending on what you do. For example, if you're a company with 100 developers who all write in Python, they need to use Python. So you have that assumed knowledge that Python is going to exist throughout your network. However, if you are mom and dad's pop shop that just sell, let's say, bicycles, and you've got 100 members of staff, they probably don't need Python. So from an enterprise and a detection standpoint, I would start to try and figure out what you've got from an endpoint technology point of view and what you've got in your enterprise endpoint technology stack that you can start looking for Python running. Generally speaking, not a lot of people will need Python. Obviously, Nick and myself, from a research perspective, will use it from time to time. Developers will use it from time to time. But as I mentioned, someone who works in your administrative section of your business, it's very unlikely that they need to use Python. As Nick mentioned, this is what we call a lolbin, a living off the land binary. And another example of that would be something like PowerShell. So again, if you have the ability to monitor PowerShell, generally speaking, you should have the ability to monitor the Python executable as well.
All right, cool. Great info there, Warren. And look, everybody, if you want to read a lot more about this and get into the nitty-gritties, please check out the blog on talosintelligence.com. And thank you, Warren, for joining me for another episode of Talos Takes. Thanks a lot.